Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Again, your sound quality sounds fantastic, so I'm excited for this new way that we're doing the show. So I'm happy
for
technical upgrades.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad.
How was your week?
My week's been good. It's been busy, I think. Here we go again.
I know, right? Every week, I know. You know I'm going to ask.
I know. I should think about this ahead of time because I do know you're going to ask me. It was good, actually. I've been doing a lot of, I think I've talked about where my business is at and looking for a job, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm mostly right now doing what's in front of me, and that is, you know, things for my business. And so I've been writing a little more and posting a little more and just really looking at how I see myself in my business, how I present myself, all sorts of interesting little things that, I think when you've been in business, I've been in my business for 10 years, and I think you need to sort of do a little spring cleaning every once in a while just to take a look at things and sort of look at where there needs to be a little bit of growth personally and business-wise. So that's kind of what I've been doing this week, which has been kind of nice. And then getting some things done around the house as well. So that's been good.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the idea. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I used to hate the idea of spring cleaning because mom would always get this idea that, it's March, so it's a great time to put the kids to work.
How you spent your March break, right?
Yeah. So spring cleaning, well, from a very early age, I always had this, as soon as I hear those words, I just want to run and not be seen. You get asked to do less. But I do love the concept now as I can reconstitute what those words mean to me and how important it can be in our lives to do a little bit of spring cleaning. And it's funny you bring it up. You know, it's always something that seems to be we always seem to have these kind of parallels in our week. And, I was really thinking about my home, and just the way that, you live and you do it every day, you get in your routine, and sometimes you don't see the things that are kind of like atrophying, whether it be, a room that gets really dusty or, something that hasn't had much attention for in a while or, go and clean out that cupboard that's just been gotten so much of clutter. And it's a small thing. But when we do it and we recognize it and then we go about and go and reorganize, let's say, that closet, it just feels so great to kind of purge yourself of the things that you had just thrown in there because you didn't want to give any thought to them, maybe even like 8 months ago or 20 months ago. And I think, it's just a small example of something of a greater principle in life. And while the closet really isn't all that important, or retrimming, your grass and these kind of things on our lawn, while all that stuff is good and it feels good, but it can have broader implications when we look at our life in terms of our work and our relationships, our business, and think about things that we just kind of carry on without really thinking about them, and kind of going through a spring cleaning, a checklist of things that are still useful and still life-giving in our lives. And that can be really, really empowering and can really help. When you bring up the word growth, I think that really helps because it helps just clear the clutter out of the way of the direction that you now want to go from this point forward, which may have been different than 15 months ago when we weren't thinking about it so much.
Yeah, for sure. And I the idea of spring cleaning, it's sort of, at first sound of it, it's like, oh, it's a drudgery. But when you look at the feeling you have afterwards and how the freedom and how good it feels to be in that clean, clear space, it really does shift the energy around a bit. And so looking at it from the end forward, it really makes it worthwhile. And it really is like taking care of a garden. in the spring, you've got to get out there and clean up all the old stuff and take away all the debris and everything that's gotten in the garden over the winter, and turn the beds over and make them ready for the planting of new seeds. And I think that's exactly what I've been trying to do, is to, you know, remove all the stuff that's not necessary, that's left behind from the past, and prepare for the planting of new seeds, new ideas, new ways of approaching things and looking at things. So it's good. It's really good. And it feels good. And it feels, you know, it helps to get in touch with that creativity again, because I think sometimes when things pile up, and winter's a good time for hibernating and, you know, sort of not dealing with stuff. So I think it's a good time to really, you know, sweep out the cobwebs and have more clarity. When you have that clarity and when you have that connection again, you really do become more creative in so many ways. And when I talk about creativity, I'm not just talking about, you know, an artist who paints or you know, people who create artsy things. It's about creating the life that you want, even. There's a certain amount of creativity that comes from that, and that's useful in having the life that you really want.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and I love how the metaphor of the garden just works so well for spiritual practices. You know, just even the idea of, you know, rotating crops. You know, you turn the bed over and decide what you want to do in that space. You know, this season. I think it's a beautiful metaphor for life, and a way to keep ourselves fresh, and take that time to really ask ourselves what it is that we want to, you know, engage in over the next, you know, 3-6 months, and make space in our lives, you know, do that spring cleaning in our lives, so that we can make space and be able to do something perhaps a little bit new, or perhaps a little bit different than what we have in the past, and that can go from small things to big things. And I do love that you say it leads to this creative excitement about our lives, and it's a way to keep fresh, and it's a way to keep growing, and it's a way to, you know, to be excited, you know, for the medium term ahead of us. And I think this is just a wonderful place to approach life from, you know, where, you know, you take a new class, or you attempt something new with a partner, or anything. And I think it's just beautiful. I think, you know, sometimes we can get so routinized, and sometimes we begin to take for granted, but we don't really see the beauty in each moment. And there's nothing like seeing the beauty than like recalibrating and doing a little bit of spring cleaning in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was my week.
when do you go out and start to, like, is it kind of after, like, the ground thaws? Is that when you do your boxes, when you redo your soil?
Oh, yeah. Well, right about this time of year, we start to get a little bit, not antsy, really, but we start thinking about, oh, we got to decide what seeds we want to order. And we don't really have the space inside to start seeds for plants that have a longer growing season. So we usually buy seeds for things that have a shorter growing season, and buy small, already grown plants for tomatoes and things like that that take a bit longer to get going. So we start looking, talking about it. We've already started talking about it, and you know, thinking about what we want to do. We've also been talking about building a little greenhouse, and you know, every year at this time we go through the same thing about, we don't have enough space because there's so many different things we want to plant, and so many, you know, so much that we don't have room for. And so yeah, we start talking about it, and probably in the next couple of weeks we'll be ordering our seeds so that they'll be here. And then in end of April, we start getting out there and turning over the soil and checking our compost and, seeing, we've had compost going all winter because we haven't had snow, so we're able to get in the backyard and throw compost in, although it's pretty frozen. But we should have a lot of it, and it makes our garden was absolutely amazing last year. But I think because we had all that good compost that we threw in, so yeah, we're thinking about it even in the midst of this cold weather.
You know, I love how when you talk about your garden, and I mean your garden is amazing for anybody who doesn't know and who listens to the show and hasn't been exposed to you know all the raised beds that Peter and you have built back there. It's just gorgeous, and but I do love how you always bring up the idea of we when about the gardening and is gardening something that Peter did before the two of you had met?
Yes, actually, he used to do when he lived in Maryland. He had a quite a good sized garden in his backyard, and I also had grown vegetable gardens over the years. You know, depending on where we lived and what was available as far as the ground and everything. So we had both done it before, and it's something that we're both passionate about. Because I mean, I call us urban farmers, because I'm not a great gardener, but I am a good farmer, and we are really, because we use our land to the maximum to produce just about everything we eat over the summer, and there's nothing better than going into the backyard and picking fresh tomatoes or picking lettuce and cucumbers. And bringing it into the house and making a salad, like, right from the garden. You can't get any fresher than that. And really, you have no idea what fresh, beautiful produce is until you've done that. Because the stuff in the stores, when winter comes, I get irritated because I have to start buying produce again. And I really have noticed the difference because of traveling time, because of shelf time, it really is a different experience. So I encourage everybody to try it, even if you do it in containers, you know, on a deck or on a balcony or whatever. I think it's a really fulfilling activity.
Yeah, I mean it's so unbelievably organically creative. To just use the earth that we've been given to have food grow over a period of a couple months and then to eat it like right away. And it's just like, I mean, how closer do you want to get to like our bounty as humans like living on this planet? It's a system. It's incredible. Just the direct connection to creation. And I mean, it's almost a spiritual or even a religious experience, really. I mean, because it was just created essentially for us, and it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting because it really connects us to the source of our food. But the other thing for me is that it's one of the biggest things for me that reminds me of my abundance is when I go out in that garden and I plant those seeds, and then the excitement I feel when I see them starting to sprout and knowing what's going to come of it. And then when it comes time to, you know, when a lot of it is ready and I start picking it, the abundance is just overwhelming. And I love it for that because I think abundance is something that we all need to recognize and recognize that it's not just about your bank account. It's about everything that you have in your life, and I think that gratitude really helps to bring us into that place of abundance and leave lack behind, because lack is the thing that drives us to do all the things that are not good for us. And so yeah, I really love it for the benefits, the many benefits, and one of them being to connect with my abundance.
Yeah. You know, it's also really neat too, and kind of somewhere where I want to go on the show too is, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm sure in your work as well, you get, I don't want to say inundated, but a lot of people are you know, really curious and excited and sometimes troubled by their primary, you know, romantic relationship, and it's this incredible fertile ground to feel amazing or to feel really, really poorly. And I find that, you know, what I was hinting at earlier, when you say, like, we with it, you know, with you and Peter doing that together, I just think it's, you know, I'd almost love for you to speak to it in a way, like, if as something, I mean, you guys do a lot together. I mean, you guys do have a lot of shared interests, and you guys are really, like, a lovely partnership to even your energy to be around, not even knowing the specifics. Or don't even have to know you two all that personally. It's just, you know, you can feel the energy when the two of you are together. That's just so symbiotic in a way. But to be able to go and do an activity, especially a creative activity together, I find is really just an incredible fuel to have a really satisfying romantic relationship with somebody. And it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what it is, save that the two of you do it together and it's a creative process that you're making something together. And I find that there's so many incredible benefits that stem from that. That really just makes you feel like this cohesion and this wonderful connectivity to another and the romance that's underneath it all. I mean, it's not chocolates and flowers. I mean, even if who even knows if that's romance, but there's a real organic, you know, guttural romance to doing something, you know, together and building something and creating something anew by bringing together both your talents and your friendship. It's just a beautiful thing. And I'd love for you to talk about, like, your experience over the years doing this with Peter, going from, you know, you live in an urban, like, or a suburban, like, survey, like, of modern homes, and the way that you've cultivated this backyard and transformed it together over your years together is amazing. And I find it really romantic from afar.
Aw, thanks. I'm sitting here smiling because the way you describe it, it's just so. The way you described it was perfect, and it's how I feel. It's like I can't wait to do things with Peter, and the garden and creating the garden. It's like everything that the two of us do. If you see us in the garden or if you see us in the kitchen, you know, getting meals ready or whatever it is, it's like a dance. It's this dance that we do. And we always seem to be in step. And it's not a, well, you have to do this because I'm going to do this. It just happens. It's this beautiful flow that happens. It's like he'll do one thing and I'll do the other thing and then we'll pass each other, and it's this beautiful dance that we do together, and it just feels good, and it feels in alignment, and it feels, like you said, symbiotic. It's hard to even explain. Yes, we have discussion about what are we going to grow in the garden, and you know, we planted, and I've got a map drawn out of the backyard, and I've got each of the beds drawn on it so that every year I keep a diary, and that's sort of my thing that I do so that I know where we planted everything and how things grew and, oh, what, never again for that thing or whatever it is. But when we're out, and then he takes care of getting the soil ready, and he does the watering and I do the weeding, but sometimes he does the weeding and I do the picking because he's colorblind and he doesn't always know when the tomatoes are ready. So.
Yeah.
but it's a really good representation of our whole life together. It goes like that. We just get up and we do that dance, and it's a beautiful dance, and it's like, we don't even have to practice the steps because they come so naturally. And I think it is that sort of creativity that just, when we let it flow, it just becomes this gorgeous, beautiful dance that we do together. And we love that partnership. We love that beloved partnership that is this beautiful flow of the love that we both have within us, the love that we both connect to in ourselves and then bring to the relationship. And so there we are, standing on the dance floor. and we just are sweeping across the floor in this beautiful, poetic, lovely, oh gosh, I'm making it sound so saccharine sweet, I think, but, and it's not like it's always like that, but I would say 90% of the time that's what it's like, because the beginning of the relationship we really dealt with all the little bits and pieces that came up that had to do with learning to be together, learning to live in the same geographical location, getting used to each other, and we have a really good way of holding the space for each other so that we can go through whatever it is we need to go through. So I know it sounds unreal, but I live it every day, so it's not. It's not. It's just, it is pretty amazing. And I mean, every day I think, wow, 10 years ago, I would never have believed that such a relationship exists. But it does, because I'm living it, and it is pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing to be with someone who is, and I think quite a few years ago, I said to him, I didn't realize how far along I'd come on my journey until I met him and stood before him and saw myself in him, that he is the male version of me and I'm the female version of him, and that mirror image of each other that we are and that we continue to be, and that we are traveling on the path together, parallel. It's just so cool. It's just so cool.
Yeah, it is amazing, and you know, I know that a couple of times there, you almost have to stop yourself from feeling like you're bragging so much. But you know, as an outsider, as a third person, I can give a testament to the way that you two are together, and it's such a super. I mean, in a way, it plays into our friendship, and you know, because I just admire you and your relationship, and you know, it's something that where you can really appreciate another person, and it just all goes hand in hand with, you know, just creating a beautiful, you know, emotional life. So for sure, and you can certainly be unapologetic about what the two of you and what you've created. And I always love the idea of, you know, when you perhaps you're longing, you know, perhaps you're not there yet, you know, as a listener, or even in my own life, you know, not having been there at all times in my life. And you might want something like that. And it really is, I mean, you really are the creator. We say that all the time on the show, but it never plays out more true than in, you know, drawing a beautiful romantic relationship as you are the creator. You essentially create your partner, you know, for wherever you're at and wherever you're headed. You know, like energy attracts. And if you want an amazing partner, then all you have to do is become an amazing partner. And stand up for yourself. And I think I know this could be like a whole year's worth of shows, and I know that we're running out of time on this show, but it was just alluded to too much. And I just wanted to, you know, we've shared, you know, our past on the show, both romantically and, you know, otherwise. And if I could just ask you one thing that you feel that has most contributed to you attracting a man like Peter into your life, if you could, I know we have a few minutes left before your meditation, so if there was something that comes to mind that you can kind of give yourself credit for attracting him, what would you say it was?
Yeah, be what you want to attract. I really made the effort to be the beloved so that I could attract. So connect with the beloved in me so that I could attract my beloved. And it's simple as that. And that is huge, but it's simple. It's one thing, but it encompasses so much of your life. And it's all about being able to hold the space. Can you hold the space for yourself? Being able to love, can you love yourself? Being able to respect, can you respect yourself? Forgiveness, understanding, compassion, kindness, all those things, you know, I know there's lots of people out there, you know, a lot of women who write what they want in a man. Read what you've written. Are you all of those things yourself? Because it's very important, and we do attract our mirror image. And so, you know, look at who you are and pay attention to what you want to attract, because that's exactly what will happen.
Yeah. You know, it is amazing. It almost takes, in a way, it almost takes no effort to attract the person once you become the person you want to attract. It'll happen. It'll just happen. And if you stand up for yourself, you know, because you can't just accept what has come your way in the past and just keep it as you change and as you evolve and as you become the person you want to be and the person you want to spend your time with. There's how to attract your dream partner in 3.5 minutes.
Exactly.
But we're down to our last couple minutes, and it would be just terrific to send us off into our week, Bettina, with a meditation.
Absolutely. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, feel the energy as it moves from the base of your spine to the top of your head. Feel it moving through every part of your body and notice any place where it might be blocked. And with the next breath, as you exhale, feel the energy moving gently through the block and notice how you feel. Pay attention to every feeling that you have. Acknowledge it. Notice when you're being not so loving or unkind. And think about how you can shift it. Do you want to attract someone into your life? Be what you want to attract. Are you the beloved? Do you recognize the beloved in you? And this is true for any relationship. Be what you want to attract. If you want to attract good, trustworthy friends, then be a good, trustworthy friend. If you want to attract someone who will listen to you and understand you, listen and understand others. Be what you want to attract. And in this space, all things are possible. And in this space, the universe, the higher power, God, will provide. And there is little more that you need to do than just to be what you want to be attracted to. It is simple, and yet it is difficult. But it is doable. Stay in your loving heart. Allow yourself to be truthful. Take responsibility for your feelings and emotions, your thoughts, your beliefs, and shift those that are not in alignment with who you want to be. And in this beautiful space of peace and love and kindness, this is where the creativity happens. This is where you create the life that you want to create. It is all up to you. This is where you feel your power. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
You're welcome.
I like how you say that this is where we feel our power. I often find myself, you know, in meditation, in guided meditation, just feeling that life force and understanding that, like, always now is, like, the first point. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful to approach life like that.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. It's been a pleasure to put it on for you, and we'll see you all again next.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.